So I'd like to welcome you all here today at Sunday service at Ananda Palo Alto, and I am Naya Swami Parvati. This is Naya Swami Pranaba, and we live at Ananda Village, and we're very happy to be here with you today. I'd like to begin by reading from Whispers from Eternity, Yogananda's beautiful book of prayer demands. Teach me to fish for thee in the deep waters of my soul. I sought to catch thee in the deep waters of superconsciousness. Little fishes of inspiration nibbled at my bait of meditation. My concentration bobbed, but every time I pulled, I missed thee. I baited the hook of my meditation with the tasty spice of love. The little fishes tugged, and I watched them do so with attentive zeal. Lo, my mind's float vanished beneath the waves of bliss. O colossal denizen of my consciousness, I pulled at thee, and with a bound thou didst leap to the shores of my heart. Teach me to fish for thee ever in the deepest waters of my soul. So Yogananda's poems are wonderful, and it's always a joy to find ones you haven't read in a while. The topic today, perfection is self-transcendent. Self-transcendence is a real challenge to us. Just imagine Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago in Israel to a people that were very rule and law-oriented saying this to them. Love your enemy? Are you joking? Pray for them? But it wasn't a request. It was a demand. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And that sort of gives us a little clue as to what he's talking about, but also the deeper understanding underneath it. How could we ever be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect if we weren't part of that? He's our Father, and therefore we're his children. And therefore, that perfection, it has to come, because if God is perfect and we're part of that, then our destiny is to become that. And we put it off, as the Indian scriptures say, for millions of lifetimes and go through a lot of pain and suffering. And at a certain point, I always love Yogananda's very simple little phrases. We come to a sense of anguishing monotony. Not anguishing pain and suffering, anguishing monotony. Because we finally get it, that the world that we live in is not as it seems. It's duality, and it can never allow us to have fulfillment. Never. It's just never going to happen. And that's the anguishing monotony part. And therefore, that's when we start to get a little glimpse of where do we seek this perfection? Where do we find fulfillment? Now, it's an interesting thing. In our household, when we get up in the morning and meditate, and then we're having breakfast, one of us might say to the other, is it a school day today? And the other one says, yep, it's a school day today. We have to go to school. And in fact, every day is a school day. And it takes us, it takes us quite a number of lifetimes really to come to that realization that of why we're here and what on earth is this duality, this world, all about? What's the purpose of it all? In fact, that's one of the big unanswered questions for most people. They're not ready to hear the answer yet, but what is the purpose of life? Well, simple. Find God, become perfect, and go back into our oneness with that divine. But that's a big bite to take. And the thing about school, you know, there was this mother and son, and the mother came in and she said, "Son, time to get up, time to, you know, you need to go to school today, you have to get up." And the son said, "Well, I don't want to go to school today. There's two reasons I don't want to. The kids don't like me, and it's just no fun." And the mother looked at him and she said calmly, "Well, my son, there's two reasons why you have to go to school today. One, you're 51 years old, and two, you're the principal." Anyway, this getting it right, I mean, that's such a great, I love that. But getting it right, it, for whatever reason, and the reason, duality is incredibly powerful. Maya, they call it in India Mahamaya, the great Maya, because it's so powerful and it's so elusive and it's so magnetic. And we go on again, Yogananda, the Indian scriptures say, millions of lifetimes caught in the power of Maya. And so it's something that, don't feel bad about it, everybody's in the same boat, but once you get it, then it's time to really move forward toward perfection. It's essential for our own fulfillment, and it has to come. We can't avoid it. And so we want to, at that point, and Swami Kriyananda, I remember him saying at a satsang at the village a number of years ago, he said, "Don't play with Maya. Don't feel you can play with it." He said, "It is very powerful." And he said, in your life, and this is to all devotees, serious devotees are all on the path, he said, "The wolf is always at the door." Because the power of Maya is not just a force of magnetic energy, it's a conscious force of magnetic energy. And its purpose, very impersonal, its purpose is to draw us away from that oneness in the divine. That's the whole purpose of Maya. Entertainment, keep you involved. Wow, look at this, look at this. It can go on forever, almost, almost. But then we come back to that anguishing sense of monotony. And no matter how good the show looks, we get it. It doesn't work. It's not as it appears to be. And in the Awake, the Life of Paramahansa Yogananda movie, there is, if you haven't seen it, do try to see it. And there is one part of it that I was remembering that's very sweet. It's the a man who is a Hollywood actor. What is his name? Herb Jeffries. And Yogananda was so magnetic, living in Los Angeles. He drew many people from the movie industry who were interested, and Herb Jeffries was one of them. He had been the bronze buckaroo in movies. He was half black and chose to stay in that black world. But he was very involved in Hollywood, and he was also a singer. He sang during the 1940s. But at a certain point, and I think it must have been in the late 1940s when Swami Kriyananda was with Yogananda as well, Herb Jeffries came, and he's interviewed in the movie about his interview with Yogananda. And, you know, he portrays that, you know, he goes up onto the hill where the holy man is in the middle of Los Angeles and has an interview with him, and this is his big day. And Yogananda, being an avatar and a true master, a true lover of God, and a real an avatar, a master who was for all of us, for the soul in everyone, he sits down with Herb Jeffries and he just asks him some fun questions. He said, "So, are you do you still smoke?" And Herb Jeffries said, "Yeah, I do." And the master says, "You may continue." And Herb Jeffries is like, "Wow." And he said, and then the next question from Yogananda is, "And you drink alcoholic beverages?" And he said, "Yeah, I do." because he's feeling like I'm sinking into this hole as I answer these questions. I have to answer him truthfully because he obviously knows. And he said, yeah, I do. And Yogananda very sweetly says, you may continue. And then he said, and do you play around with loose women? And Herb Jeffries said, yes, I do. And Yogananda speaks sweetly, quietly, you may continue. And at this point, Herb Jeffries says, hey, wait a minute. Here I came here. I really want to get on the spiritual path. And I can do all these things and be on the path? Are you joking? And Yogananda said, well, there's one catch. I can't guarantee that as you engage in meditation and this path, that you will want to do any of those things. So anyway, he wanted him to get out there with who he was and then to realize as he would go along, those things would really just fall away. And isn't it so with all of us? I mean, people can say, well, you should do this and you should do this and you should do this, be good because it's good to be good. But quite frankly, you're never going to do any of that stuff until you, as Gandhi said, Mahatma Gandhi, he said, you can't replace a lower pleasure unless you replace it with a higher pleasure. So the spiritual life has to become that higher pleasure. And it's why we have to meditate every day, because if we're not putting enough energy in to our spiritual life, we don't have a way to start shifting that energy away. But once we do, then everything changes. Meditation, it will absolutely change your life completely. So as we go along in this, again, perfection, I was thinking, out of 1,000, one seeks me. Out of 1,000 that seek me, one really knows me, who I am. But Yogananda would say, but our percentages are much greater. Our percentages are much better than that. Because you're engaging in the spiritual life. And as you do that, it's like, well, what is perfection? What are we really talking about here? I was just reading in the last few days the biography of Paramhansa Yogananda that Swami wrote in around 2011. And there's a little story in there because people come at this, we all have, some of us get it a little more now, others are still having a lot of questions, but people have all kinds of ideas. When you say that word perfection, my God, I mean, can I ever be perfect? Yeah, absolutely. It's in there. The soul is there. It's covered over with a whole lot of stuff. But you will reach that place where you are. And so what does perfection really look like? And in the biography, there's a story. Yogananda, there were many stories that he told, that he shared with his disciples. And one of them was about seeing visions and just kind of where that lies, because you might think, well, if you're perfect, you're really powerful and you see God all the time and that kind of thing. And he told this story about the famous Swami in Benares. And he was the one who had lived for 300 years. Again, I'm Trilanga. Sorry, I'm forgetting these names right now. Anyway, he had lived for a long time, and he was very powerful as a yogi. And one of his disciples in the ashram there was really wanting to have a vision of God. And through this particular statue that was in the ashram, he just was attached to it and really drawn to it, and he kept asking Trilanga Swami about this. And finally one day he said, fine. And so the statue, as they were sitting, the two of them, Trilanga and this devotee, and the statue got up, walked over, sat with them, and they had a discussion about spiritual things. you know, it was a miracle, my God. And so they're talking, and then the statue at the end got up, walked back, and went back into the form. And Trailanga Swami looked at this man and he said, "Now what do you have?" You know, it's about us perfecting ourselves, about us remembering really our perfection. And the ego is at the heart of it. We really, our self-definitions, our self-identification is what binds us, continually binds us. When something happens, me, it always refers. And if you, you know, just start, it's fun actually, you can just start deflecting that. It happened. Don't add the little two words, to me. You know, just say, it happened. Something happened, somebody criticized you, you make some big blunder. Don't say, I did it, say it happened. You know, it's so impersonal that way. Someone wrote recently, we have the website ananda.org, and people write in, ask Ananda experts. Number of us are supposed to be experts. And so this man wrote in, and it was a very simple question. He said, how do you know when a karma is finished? And I thought, what a great question. And I said, well, and this is what I've heard from Swami, but also I've felt it in myself. And you all have these experiences, because everyone does as you go along, is that you don't even remember. Whatever it is, it's like, poof. It's just, and it's not that, wow, I don't even remember. It's that you simply do not remember that you ever did that. And maybe several years later, you think, or a year later, you think, it's gone. I don't do that anymore. I don't think that thought. I don't do that action. It's gone. It's like the leaves on the trees in the fall, when the sap withdraws into the trunk and all those little leaves turn brown, and then a gust of wind comes along and poof, they're off the tree, they're gone, they're dead. And our karma is sort of like that. And it's why, as we go along, we really want to be careful about how we engage in life. And if you keep revisiting bad things you've done, don't do that. Don't do it. It gives it energy. Think about energy and magnetism. It gives it energy. Every time you think about something that's done, I mean, hey, it's done. You can't do anything to change it. It's gone. It's an action. It's a karma. Yes, you know, you'll have to resolve that at some point, but don't keep building on it. Don't keep revisiting it. And it's the part of the spiritual life that for all of us, everybody feels bad about themselves in one way or another. You know, you say that word perfection, it's like, oh no, you know, how can I do that? And remember that conscious force of Maya, it's always there getting you to do that. You know, that's its job, is to keep you engaged and to say, oh yeah, that thing you did, that was really bad. Yeah, now I know it happened 5 or 10 years ago, but you know, you ought to remember how bad that was. It gives it energy. And if you can simply say, it happened, oh yeah, that was bad, and then you move forward with the main force of your energy and your concentration and your love and your devotion toward the light, that's how you seek perfection. That's how you find perfection. And if you don't do that, then gradually, even if you're on the path, you can get pulled back into Maya. Again, it's very powerful and something not to play with. But if you want God, you can have him. You know, as Yogananda said, it's kind of a thought that you don't have him. If you think, I have him, and you really feel that with everything you are, poof, it's done. But we have a lot of mitigating circumstances, mitigating karma in there that keeps kind of pulling us and distracting us and deflecting our focus. But more and more, and it's not wishful thinking to do this, focus on the light. Be aware of what you don't want to do. Be aware of it, but don't feed it. And really focus on that light and knowing that you are part of that light. Again, meditation, regular, daily, twice a day, Kriya Yoga, if you can get that initiation, all of that builds on that. And you start to have smriti, divine remembrance of who and what you really are. And you know, in one part of the Bhagavad Gita, I'm not going to remember the page, but you can look it up. It talks about, in one of the commentaries, Swami Kriyananda talks about how a Jivan Mukta frees itself of past karma. Because we all know it all has to be resolved. It all has to come to shunya. And he said that in a meditation, when you are in more of a superconscious state, you can review a whole lifetime in one meditation and sweep the consciousness of the superconscious through it and resolve it all. I'm not quoting it exactly, but just that idea that in one meditation you can be done with a whole lifetime of karma, you know, that where you've lived and done all kinds of things. So it's not as it appears to be. Maya will say, there is no way in heaven you can be perfect. How could you be perfect? You know, and we say, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, don't go there. Don't go there. Deeper behind every action, all the self-definitions, and every action you've ever done, behind it all, you're a child of God, child of the light. And so live in that light more. And with Yogananda, what did that look like? What does perfection look like in a master? You know, you think great power and miracles. One time someone said about Yogananda, he had heard this, he said, I hear Yogananda's lost all his powers. And when Yogananda heard that, he said, I didn't know I ever had any. This is an avatar, you know, so it's not about that. And what did Swami Kriyananda said three things that I remember. There's many things you could say about what it looks like. But he said three things. He said, Yogananda spent, I don't know, 10 years or less maybe with Sri Yukteswar. And he plays through this all saying Sri Yukteswar really got in there. He corrected him on everything to prepare him to come to this country in 1920. And he said, Swami Kriyananda said about Yogananda, because that was a tremendous thing. He came alone into a very materialistic country. People had no idea who he was. Dark skin, long hair, you know, wow. Just leaves it wide open for any kind of ridicule you could possibly imagine. But he said, Swami Kriyananda said, he said, Yogananda, in all the different situations that happened to him, he said he always came up smiling. Perfection in the self. And he said also that he was for everyone and against no one, because he was for the soul in everyone and not against anyone. So it's just, they're humble things, in other words. That's what we want to become like. That's the consciousness that we want to have. And can we right now love everybody as the, you know, wow, it's like, you know, love your enemy, don't do the, you know, do all of this. Again, I remember Swami talking about his mother going to a church service, Episcopal church, and the pastor had talked about how great the saints are because they put out enough energy to love this person over here who's a real creep. And then they put out enough energy to love this person here. And he said, his mother told him about this talk, and he said, that's not at all how it works. And he said, when your consciousness moves more into the superconscious, you can't help but love everyone. It's a natural thing, in other words. And for all of us, the spiritual life, it has to be natural. We have to want it. We have to engage lovingly in it. But he just said, when you raise your consciousness, that's how you see life. You see God everywhere. It may not be perfect. I'm not saying, you know, you meditate and then poof, you're perfect and then all this happens. It's what the Bible says, the washings and regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Washings, meaning every single day. That's what we're doing in meditation. We're offering our consciousness up into that superconscious. And that washing and regeneration, we have touches of it. Some meditations may be very deep, others may be very dry. But the fact that we're there doing it repeatedly, that's how you get there. There isn't another way to get there. It's not just done like that. Even a master can't do that for you unless you've done the work to go along with it. And so you find that you do have those glimpses of that. And these sayings in the Bible, the things that you read, they become alive. Because they're part of your own experience. Maybe you can't hold it yet. You know, poof, you're down again into the ego and, you know, relating in other ways. But it's there. It's very close. And we're on the way there. The three things that I would say that are, and again, many things, but these are the three that came to my mind. To seek perfection, we have to want it. We have to engage. You know, we have to take up a spiritual path. We need to meditate. And we have to want to do all of this. You know, it's not just somebody tells you about it and, okay, well, I'll do it. No, you have to want to. So there's our will engaged with teachings that can really do this for us. Secondly, we have to develop love for God and devotion. Very sweet. It's the oil of the spiritual path. So in whatever way is possible, work on that. And the last thing is, to find God, you have to have a guru. And so, because the guru's grace, his power, in other words, his consciousness and his magnetism, that's what will, in the end, get us out of this mess of the Mahamaya. But again, without our opening ourselves, in other words, we open by practice, we open by calling on him, we open in all these ways. Our effort and our willing, desirous, loving effort is what really engages that divine with us. And then we find that little by little, our karma falls away, and we find we just look at life differently. You know, we look at people differently. We see that every single one of them, no matter how strange or bad or whatever, they really do have that soul inside. It's not just an intellectual concept anymore. It's something that's alive and real for us because we're doing what all the masters have done, engaging in the spiritual life and moving forward. And the one Yogananda said this was his highest prayer. As Jyotish said, he's got several highest prayers, but this was one that we printed up many years ago. He said to God, "Give me thyself that I may give thee to all." That is the highest prayer.